Bibles, if you would, to Genesis, the 22nd chapter. Genesis 22. We're going to finish that story today, that event that is recorded for us. An amazing, amazing test that came to Abraham. I'm actually going to read the whole thing just because we want to set it in its right context here. So we'll begin in verse 1, Genesis 22. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. He split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. He took in his hand the fire and knife, so the two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Today's text begins in verse 9. Then they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood, and bound his son Isaac, laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, Here I am. He said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad. Do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you've not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord Will Provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven, and said to him, By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing, have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed I will greatly bless you. I'll greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens, and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men and rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. Loving Father, we thank you for an opportunity to come together today. We praise you for your word, which is forever settled in heaven, which is so timeless and true. It is that which reveals to us which we need to know. And Father, our minds are fickle, and we tend to stray. You know us so well, and you've spoken to that. But here we have something that's sure, and I thank you for preserving your word through the years for us. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. And we're reminded today as we gather that we need what you have for us. I pray our hearts would be humbled before you now, and you would speak into our brokenness, into our need. Help us to discover in our own hearts what you would have us to know, and then to act on whatever you would call us to. Father, thank you for this group. And I pray your blessing through your Spirit in this moment in time. In Christ's name, amen. God has a way of working through hard and painful circumstances to bring about blessings. In the Old Testament, we read about Joseph. He held to this truth. And he said to those who had considered selling him into slavery, this, As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. Because Joseph ended up in slavery in a foreign country as a leader in that country, God preserved the Hebrew people. So he looked back at his difficulty. He's being betrayed. He's being sold into slavery by his brother. And he said, guess what? God used that. He had his mind around what God was doing. The Apostle Paul, he was imprisoned, but he took the opportunity to minister to those who were there and those who were on the outside. He wrote from that prison cell. He said this, "I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that in my imprisonment in the cause of Christ, it's become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else." Paul's saying, God's using this. There are those that are my attendants here. They're watching over me. They've heard the gospel. Not only that, he went further. He said that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. What's he saying there? Paul's saying, you know what? God is using my discomfort. God is using my hardship. And I see that. He's working this out for good. That doesn't mean that it was easy. It doesn't mean that this journey of faith as we trust in the Lord is one of that's paved with one great victorious experience after another. No, there's hardship. There's difficulty. Matter of fact, the scripture speaks that into our hearts today. Acts 14:22, Paul and Barnabas speaking on their missionary journey as they come out of that thing. It says they're strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying, here it is, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Believers are not exempt from hard things. There's a hard thing here that this great man of God was enduring and going through. It was a test from God. And that test was this. Do you deem me, God is saying, do you deem me worthy, so worthy that you would worship, and in worshiping, you would do what I've called you to do, to sacrifice your son? We see the place in this text today in Genesis 22:9. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. God sent him from Beersheba. Remember, it's about a 50-mile journey. It's a 3 days journey. There's a donkey, two attendants, Isaac, and Abraham. Abraham's 100, probably in 15 or so at this time. Isaac's a young teenager. They've walked that distance to worship. Just before we go further, let's remember, we know the end of the story, but as we read this, Abraham is living it live. Okay? So he comes to this place, he sees it. We're told that in verse 4, he raised his eyes, saw the place from a distance. You have no idea as to what was discussed or the mood of these men as they traveled those 3 days, those 50 miles, spent two nights under the stars. I'll tell you what I think about this trip. It takes Abraham a step closer and closer with every step to the greatest challenge he's ever had, a challenge like no other. I believe Abraham is going on in faith. Remember, he heard the word of the Lord, those shocking words. Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and you go and you sacrifice him. We see how he responded to that in verse 3. He gets up early, he prepares, and off he goes. So, but if this chapter begins with after these things, that little phrase, now it came about after these things, verse 1. Well, what things? What things? Well, God's call for him to leave Ur of the Chaldeans and to go to a promised land whereby God would pour out abundant and amazing blessings on him, a place that God would reveal as he went, chapter 12. God just called him, you go, and he went. Abraham responds in faith. He packs up his bags, his tents, his family, and he goes. In his journey of faith, let's remember, there were many failures. There are ups and downs for him as he grows in faith. Remember, this man we're seeing in the 22nd chapter is not the same guy that was in chapter 13. There were failures, but he moved on from them. Those failures came when he didn't believe, when he did not trust God. And in that, his journey of faith, he didn't act accordingly as he should have in faith, and he had failures. But when he did trust God, when he trusted God, God moved in amazing ways. Remember, he trusted God as he gave his brother Lot the choice of the land to settle in. He just trusted the Lord with that. He trusted God when he fought the kings to retrieve Lot and his family who had been taken captive. He trusted God. That was an amazing feat. He trusted God when he dismissed Hagar and Ishmael from his family, believing that God would make a way for them. That was a very hard thing, but he trusted God. Then God did something. Something that if you read this chapter and you know the story of Abraham and Sarah, it still makes us laugh today. God allowed an 89-year-old woman to conceive. She bore a son at the age of 90. Abraham is 100. This is the promised son. This is where the seed of the Messiah would come through. Remember Genesis 3:15, that promise of a seed, of a Messiah, of a Redeemer. It comes through Abraham. It comes through Isaac. We see him in Jesus Christ. God keeps his word. But both Abraham and Sarah, at this point in their life, they're enjoying peace with neighbors. This is their in their senior years. But God had something for Abraham. God wasn't done working in his life. If you're here today, I don't care how old you are, God's not done working in your life. I don't care how young you are, if you yield to God, God will continue to work. That's why we read after these things. This puts it in the context. Take now your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac. Those words that commanded Abraham to do the impossible, to take this precious son, lay him on the altar. The question remains, would he do it? Would he deem God worthy of his obedience and worship? Remember again, in verse 2, he says, you take him there, you offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. He's saying, Abraham, this is how I want you to worship me in this day. Here it is. You go. This is how I'm calling you to worship me at this time. So the question is, would he deem God worthy of his obedience and worship? Verse 9 tells us he binds Isaac, places him on top of the wood on the altar. This place is where the Temple of Solomon would eventually be built in Jerusalem. Where just outside of Jerusalem, there would be another father and another son, whose son would be sacrificed for the sins of the whole world, Jesus Christ, where his cross is lifted up. He stands between earth and God. He's the one way. The promised Redeemer would one day stand there. That's the place. There's the moment. Verse 10. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Isaac's a young man. Abraham's an old man. Although Abraham has certainly a good deal of strength, he's walked 50 miles, he's picked up his son and laid him on top of the wood on the altar. Remember, though, the word that Abraham gave to Isaac as they walked together toward the mountain. Isaac asks the question in verse 7. He says, the fire and the wood, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. And here we have them together. He's on the altar. He's stretching his hand out. Those words are resonating, I believe, with Isaac and in Abraham's mind as well. Everything's now in place. The altar's been constructed. The wood is on it. The fire, the sacrifice. One of the tools that Abraham had, one he was familiar with and had used on occasion. We would see that in chapter 12, verse 7, verse 8, chapter 13, verse 4, chapter 13, verse 18. We read of Abraham building an altar. He was very familiar with the sacrificial system and sacrifices. He knew how to use that knife. He'd used it before. And here's Isaac, his son. He and Abraham know exactly what is next. He extends his hand to slay his son. Praise God for the provision. As he does that, verse 11, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. Listen, for I know that you fear God since you've not withheld your son. Your only son from me. The same voice that he had heard 3 days earlier interrupts him. I don't know that there was ever a sweeter interruption in Abraham's life. What a word from the Lord. This is Yahweh, the Lord. I believe it's an Old Testament word from Jesus Christ himself. He stops Abraham in his tracks with these words, Abraham, Abraham, don't do it. I will tell you, God had never intended or would allow Abraham to slay his son. It was a test. A beautiful picture for us as well. I'll get into that in just a minute. Don't do it. You have proved something. What did he prove? He proved that he feared God above anyone and everyone. That worship scene was to sacrifice his son. He had to believe in that God was trustworthy. He was worthy of worship. In other words, if Abraham was going to obey, which he did, he needed to fear God. He needed to reverence him. He needed to honor him, to have a holy reverence for him. He proved this in his willingness to worship as instructed, namely, taking his son Isaac and sacrificing him. And I want to say again, Abraham has grown in faith and fear of God. That's why we see what has just played out before us. Abraham's obedience proved his love and respect for God. He just passed the test with flying colors. Praise God. That's what he did. How did he do this? How did he do this? It was by faith. Last week I shared these verses. I'm going to share them again because they make a difference as to what Abraham was thinking and believing. This is what he was believing about God. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, he offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. He considered, here it is, here's the key. This is why he was able to do that. This is what he was believing about God. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead. That's how he was. That's where his mind got as he considered, what is God calling me to do? Because it is through Isaac that the seed, the promised one, would come, the Messiah. So he was believing that God would provide. Abraham, in this text, speaks volumes about his faith in God. Abraham didn't ask for this test. You realize that, right? It was just God stepping in, speaking to him. This is what I'm ordaining right now. This is where you need to go. This is what you need to do. They're like that. So much of life, so much of what we encounter is beyond us. We didn't order it, but here it is. I love what Chuck Swindoll said. He said this, I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. That's it, my brother, my sister. There are a couple things that I want to really stress to you today. One is that these tests and these trials come. You can't exempt yourself from them. You will never hear that message here, and it will never be proclaimed. And let me say it this way, and it is not taught in the Bible. There are some that proclaim that today. You come to Christ, I'll tell you what. It's health, it's wealth, it's riches. You're going to be good looking before you know it and have all the toys. That's not at all biblical Christianity. That's not it at all. There's a God who's worthy, and he brings things at times that hurt, that are tough, but he's got a design for me. He's got a plan in it. He wants to grow me. We are so blessed to have this account before us today. If there's nothing else that Abraham got, hey, he's encouraged a lot of believers through the years. He got much more than that. But here it is. It's not, will the tests come? They'll come. It's not, will difficulties be mine? They'll be mine. It's how do you go through it? You have control over this, your attitude, your faith, what you're thinking about God. And that's where we need to grow. You know, it should never be, I wonder if God's going to get me through this. It should always be, I know he'll get me through this. I'm looking as to how he will provide. The message, one of the messages in this text is just that. The Lord will provide. Abraham went forward in that way. He says, you know what? I may not get it all, but Isaac, I got to tell you, the Lord will provide a lamb. He will. He will provide. And then after he gets done with this, he names that mountain Jehovah, Jireh. The Lord will provide. And we could say, the Lord has provided. So he sees that there. He's blessed there. What does your response to your trial say about your faith in God? That's a question we need to ask. How are you responding? Are you throwing a fit like a three-year-old? Or are you going in faith saying, wow, this is hard? We're not going to say it's not. But you know what? There's God in heaven who can do anything at any time, and he has a purpose in my distress. How are you going through your trials? Let me ask you this. What are others hearing as you speak out of that trial? What are they hearing? Are they hearing someone full of faith? Or are they hearing someone, woe is me, I can't believe it, it always happens to me. Toast, I burnt my toast this morning. How could, you know, life is terrible. How do you go through a trial? Is it with this thought, the Lord will provide? Is your reaction one of expectation of God's grace, his empowerment, his moving in your life and helping you through? It should be. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will bring it to pass, 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He's able. He's capable. We see the substitute here in verse 13. Abraham raised his eyes and looked, behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns, and Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. Abraham looked and saw his provision. You can be sure, I'll tell you, that there was no hesitation in Abraham taking that ram for that sacrifice. Can you imagine the joy, the relief that came to him and to Isaac when that ram was spotted and Isaac was set free and placed on that altar with someone else or something else instead of him? I can't imagine a deeper, more meaningful time of worship for either Abraham or Isaac. What has happened? God has met them in this place, in the middle of this test. The Lord did provide. He did. Abraham believed God would provide for himself a lamb. I believe Isaac believed that as well. God met their faith with amazing provision. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. Again, how do you go through hard things? Is it with expectation that God is going to move, he's going to deliver? Is it with faith? I believe in my actions and my walk and my talk, they follow that faith. Do you believe that even though it may seem impossible, that nothing is impossible with God and he has your back? It's a beautiful picture, and I can't escape this picture. When we see Abraham and Isaac, we see a beautiful picture of God's provision for salvation for us in Christ. See, our Heavenly Father sent his Son, who was sacrificed for us. We're told in 1 Peter 2:24, he himself, that's Jesus Christ, bore our sin in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you are healed. Why did he do this? Why did God send his Son? Because we, just like Isaac, were under a sentence of death. Well, what do I mean? Well, here it is. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 says, there's none righteous, not even one. See, all of us believe we have some merit before God. Well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I haven't murdered anybody. And we'll pick someone. We'll come in a little higher than them on the degree of righteousness. But one sin separates you forever from God. That's what happened in the garden. Adam and Eve, one sin, death came. All have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. We're on common ground here. We are. We're all broken. We're all sinners. We're all in need of a Savior. And the best that we can do is offend a holy God by saying, God, accept me like I am because I'm okay. No. All your righteousnesses are as filthy rags, no merit before God. As a result of that sin, we have a sentence upon us just like Isaac had. The wages of sin is death, separation from God. That's the bad news. If you don't get the bad news, you'll never realize the potential and the greatness of the good news. Here's the good news, but God intervened. He offers a free gift. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It is by grace, it's free. You can't pay for it. But God offers it to anyone who would come and believe. If you've never trusted Christ, today's the day. Try as we might, we cannot do anything in of ourselves to fix this situation. The wages of sin is death and their separation. Abraham and Isaac, they couldn't provide what was needed for that altar in and of themselves. They couldn't. But God did. He stepped in. He stepped into our lives. It is said of Jesus, he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Remember, the ram was a substitute for Isaac. But it did Abraham no good. No good to simply see it. He needed to act on it. He needed to decide, will I apply this to the situation? The same is true of us. You can know about God. You can know the gospel. But if you never access it, if you've never made a decision to trust in the finished work of Christ, it's no good to you. That's why the scripture says, John 1:12, as many as received him, to them, it's to them, only he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who would believe in his name, make a decision. The following verses are the blessing. And I'm not going to read all those again, but God just says, hey, I'm going to pour it out on you. Verses 15 to 19, that's what I'm going to do. Think about the trip back to Beersheba. How sweet that would have been, huh? Isn't that how it is? You know, a testing, the trial. You get put between a rock and a hard place. You're in a corner. You can't see your way out. God moves. He delivers. Oh, the fog lifts, right? I believe that trip back, that 50 miles, was marked by rejoicing, by thanking God, by reveling in what he had done in his provision. Wednesday night, our Word of Life Club taught this same lesson. And there's a sticky statement in each one of those lessons. Guess what the sticky statement was? How many of you were there? How many of you remember? It was what? The Lord will provide. I'd written this out on Tuesday, and I'm like, somebody's stealing my stuff. It's pretty obvious in the text, isn't it? Here's the word to you and to me. This is what you need to hang on to. The Lord will provide. We can't doubt it. I know things can smack you hard, right? You kind of recoil from that. Get your mind back around this. God's got it. He's going to work it through. He's going to help you. So that's what I want you to remember. I'm going to say it differently in just a moment. There's something else I really want to challenge your heart with. Warren Wiersbe said this. We sometimes waste our suffering by neglecting or ignoring opportunities to reveal Jesus Christ to others who are watching us go through the furnace. We do funerals here. Sometimes we are doing funerals for families who have gotten the gospel. They're strong and, you know, they're walking that way of life. But every funeral for a Christian is an opportunity to display Jesus Christ and to tell others the hope that we have in him. We're saying goodbye today. That's it. It's just a moment in time. Maybe we should say we're saying so long. We'll be together soon. Because we have a risen Savior, he's risen. He's conquered death and hell and sin. Our citizenship is where? It's in heaven. Like Abraham, we're just journeying through. Listen, when you're in the middle of it, there are those who are watching you go through a testing or a trial. And as you react to that, if you are reacting with this thought, we walk by faith, not by sight. I'm going to trust the Lord. He's going to provide. I don't know how we're ever going to do this, but you know what? I'm looking to see what God's going to do. You will be a tremendous blessing to those around you. You know, we share the gospel, we do. Oh, that's a way to really live the gospel out. All right, lastly, I'll say it this way, okay? We must face trials with an expectation that God will provide. That's a must. In the trial, let's face that with this thought, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, God will provide. May our faith in him inspire others to faith and courage as we go through hard things. We're going to sing in just a moment that song we sang earlier, Just As I Am. I don't know where God finds you today. Maybe you've been rebelling against him in a difficult thing, and you're just treading water, and you need to just get before him and say, I'm going to put it all on the altar, just like Abraham did. It's not about me. Here it is. Here's my stuff. Here it is. I'm putting it there, letting you take it. Maybe that's where you're at. And God's wanting to work and grow you in it, and you're just, you know, you're just not allowing him to. You're just rebelling against him. I challenge you to get before God and say, here I am. My life is, it's yours. It's yours. Do with it as you please. Maybe you're here today and you've thought, you know, there are a lot of ways to get to God. This text today clearly demonstrates to us, God says, this is the way you're to come. This is the way you're to worship. And that follows through. He gave a Savior to provide for us salvation, and it's through him and him alone that we come in faith and have a relationship with the living God. I call you to faith today to make a decision to trust Christ. Let me pray. Those that are going to lead in worship in the last song, you come. Loving Father, thank you for an amazing scripture. How good it is. Father, we come before you as a people who are in great need. We need to grow in our faith. We need to learn to trust you more and more. We want to run things. We want to do things our way. We want to have control, Father. There's just so much that's out of our control. We need to yield to you in this. Take us and use us, Lord. If there's someone here today that's yet to put their faith in Christ alone, move them in that way. And thank you for taking us just as we are. In Christ's name, amen.